Today may be slightly different, but as far as giving God's word, it's not going to be different.
Amen.
I have a title, The Consequences of Living a Life Apart from God. But before I start, I want to put a question on the floor. The question on the floor is, how do you put life together so that it works? So when it comes to living life, God chose a person who would be the best qualified to teach us about it. Not only did he choose the best person, he chose a person who I'm going to talk about today. And I'm going to talk about, as a matter of fact, he wrote a whole book. He talks about our life, your life, my life, coming from his life. And his life is an illustration. And there's one whole book that God allowed him to write, 12 full chapters written about this subject. The names, the man's name is Solomon. And the book he gave us, Ecclesiastes. If anyone is more qualified to tell you about life, it's Solomon. Meaning here is, he's a man who was born, like we used to say, with a silver spoon in his mouth. But since he is the son of a king, I will say he was born with a gold spoon in his mouth. He was a son of the king, and yet when he opens up the book, he opens up the book and he says, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, he says, the first words that came from the preacher's mouth, he says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. But he says in verse 2, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Verse 3, what advantage does man have in all his work under the sun? Solomon, he opens up his book, and when he opens it up, he tells us that he don't have anything to talk about. Nothing to talk about. Why? Because the word vanity means emptiness, worthlessness, and that which is without purpose. He opens up his book talking about emptiness. If any man shouldn't have been empty, it should have been Solomon. He had everything you and I dreamed about, long about, and we long after. And yet his first words was a vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All of life is emptiness, purposelessness. And that's why we spend so much time trying to turn ourselves on, to light our fire, to give us a sense of worth, significance, and well-being. But wouldn't you know it? As soon as we find it, we lose it. It's like when you score a touchdown and something crosses the goal line. In time it crosses the goal line, you say, yes, yes. Suddenly, before you even start celebrating, you hear a whistle. Somebody threw out the yellow flag. And they called it back. This is Solomon talking about this. And so purposelessness is what Solomon wants to talk about to us today. People spend a lot of time trying to fake it to make it in order to at least give us the impression, I know who I am and I know what I'm doing. Life becomes meaningless and without purpose when it comes when he gets disconnected from God and eternity. The whole 12 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes is about life under the sun. Under the sun means on earth, in time and space, where man lives, work, play, raises family. That's life under the sun, where humanity operates. He says, when your life under the sun gets disconnected from life above the sun, when your life, my life, our lives get disconnected from God and eternal perspective, you can expect to be able to say, as Solomon says, vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. Solomon takes us on a tour of his life. He gives us samplings of how he tried to fill it, trying to fill that hole that was deep inside his soul. A hole so big, we used to say, you could drive a Mack truck through it. And yet, he wanted to get that hole filled. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. In other words, I'm going to have a party. He says, I said to myself, let me test you, life. Let me find out what life is all about with a party. I mean, everybody, all of us like to party. Everybody likes to, we used to say, everybody likes to jam. He says, let me just have a good time. And so if I can just have a good time, then I will feel alive. Feel good. What did you do to have a good time, Solomon? Because he says in verse 1, so go ahead and enjoy yourself. He says in verse 3, I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body. I wanted my body to feel something. And so he says, I drank wine till I couldn't handle it anymore. I tasted pleasure that would turn my body on so that I would feel the sense of life and purpose. He says, I sought pleasure. Notice his words. He says in verse 4, I enlarged works and I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. Mm-hmm. Verse 5, I made gardens and parks for myself. Verse 6, I made ponds of water for myself. Verse 8, I collected for myself silver and gold and treasures of the king's provinces. I provided myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men and many concubines. In other words, he was saying, I was a player. He said, and I did all of this for myself because I wanted to feel it. And so I spared no expense. Well, Solomon, how did the pleasure work out for you? How did the party work out for you? How did the good times roll for you? And he said in verse 11, I considered my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I exerted. And behold, all was vanity. And striving after the wind, there was no profit underneath the sun. He said, after the party, whoosh, emptiness has set in again. He says, you will discover when you strive after the wind, and as soon as you think you had it, it's lost. It's gone. It says, it was vexing to me, and it was vanity. Not because it wasn't fun. It just had no meaning attached to it. It had no purpose attached to it. He is talking about emptiness of life underneath the sun. That is disconnected from God. So he said something else. He said, I know what I do. I get me an education. Okay. I get some brains up in here. Verse 12. So I turn to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except that has already been done? Verse 13. And I saw that wisdom exceeds folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Verse 14. And yet I know that fate will befall them both. Verse 15. Then he says to him, to myself, then I said to myself, as is fate of a fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? This also is vanity, meaningless, emptiness. So let's look at what Solomon is saying. The Bible says Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived. Nobody was more brilliant in knowledge and understanding and wisdom than Solomon. So we're just lacking that to education because he knew stuff. It's better to go to school than not to go to school. It's better to know than not to know. It's better to be wise than be a fool. It's better to be wise than be a fool. You say, that's better. But then he says, one day I was looking out the window and I watched this fool walk by. This is the elementary dropout. This is the elementary dropout walk by. The fool he's talking about. The guy who didn't know anything. The guy who didn't have no understanding about anything. This was the guy who didn't make anything for himself. I watched the fool walk by. The uneducated guy. He says, I could see I was better off than he was because I had information. I had knowledge. And I had some wisdom. I was better than the fool. But then I got depressed. Well, what depressed you, Solomon? He says, one day, fate shall befall us all. My education won't keep me from the grave. My degrees won't keep me from the grave. The fact of the matter is that elementary dropout may live longer than me with my degree. He says death is the great equalizer between the fool and the wise man. So he could not find meaning in education because he wasn't going to keep him alive any longer. He says, let me try something else. The party didn't do it. The education didn't do it. Oh, but money, 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 money. Money. Some people got that. Well, anyway, verse 18. Verse 18. Then I hated all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun. For I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Verse 19. And who knows whether he will be as wise man or a fool, yet he will control over the fruit of my labor. Hey, come on. the fruit of my labor. That's your money, stuff that money can buy, and the stuff you can accumulate with money, that's the fruit of your labor. The productivity of your life. He says, I looked at all I had accomplished. See, y'all may not know how rich this man was. I call him, he is a mega billionaire. Or if I never heard of a mega trillionaire, so he was rich. He was rich. He says, and I'm going to leave it to the one who should come after me. And who knows whether he is a fool or is he going to value the stuff like I valued it? That leads us to probably the most famous chapter in the Bible. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We are familiar with that one. There's a time for this and then there's a time for that. A time to live and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck. A time to laugh and a time to cry. He goes through this in the first half of the third chapter. There's a time, there's a time, there's a time, there's a time. What is he saying? He is saying, I got bad news for you. You live, I live, we live in a closed universe. Because as soon as you find out there is something to laugh about, something else comes along and happens to make you cry. Soon as you find peace, there's something else is going to break up and turn it into war. You are locked in a closed universe, and there's no escape. That's why people are looking for ways to escape. That's what's happening to the world today with our people, our young people, especially in our world today. They're looking for ways to escape because they're trying to break out of this closed universe because they feel stuck and surmised in things they cannot control. That makes life hold you hostage in a way that they do not want to be in jail. They don't want to be jailed that way. God, why are you doing this? Verse 9 of chapter 3. What profit is there to the worker from that which he toils? Verse 10. I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men, which to occupy themselves. God, why do you have me trapped in this thing called life? When all I've got to look forward to is death. Oh, he helps us out. In verse 11, he says, he made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in our heart, yet so that men will find out how to work which God has, the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Verse 12, he says, I know that there is nothing better for them to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. Verse 13, moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all of his labor. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. Verse 14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. That there is nothing to add to it, and there's nothing to take away from it. Hallelujah. For God has so worked that men should fear him. God has boxed you and me into time. Time and space, and made it so we cannot break through. We cannot force and break ourselves out of it or force us, but what it does, it forces us to him. He has set eternity in your heart. Now, you may not know it, but that longing for fulfillment, God says it's a longing and for him, because he is the only one that can fulfill Hallelujah. That longer. Hallelujah. That longer for purpose is a longer for him. So he has set within time, space, the empty spot that will try to fill us with cheap, that we try to fill with cheap substitutes in order to find some meaning that only can be discovered in him. And he did it on purpose. God never just does stuff unless he has a reason for doing it. He set eternity in our heart. So that deep down, you in love with you, unless you cover it with some stuff, there is this hole that only God can fill. So he wants life underneath the sun to get connected with life above the sun. That sun, I mean the S-U-N sun. That life can be connected to S to the F-O-N sign in heaven. He wants your human life to be connected with God's eternity and eternity. And to the degree that you connect eternity to time, to the degree you change vanity into victory.
Hallelujah.
You see what the world is offering us. You know what the world is offering us. Everything that the world offers us is to draw our attention off of God. We think it's good. We think all that stuff we think that we need. You know why you haven't gotten it? We pray, say, God, I need this. God, will you help me through that? God, would you do this for me? God said, if I do it, I'm not going to do anything that's going to turn you back on me. He wants to have us to have victory in our vanity, in our vainness. But as long as you disconnect it, you're trapped in something you cannot change. Because God is the only one who can make the change. You're not living in the land of the living. On your way to the land of the dying. You are living in the land of the dying on your way to the land of the living. So if you think this is it, guess what? You're going to live like this is it. If you think this is not it, then you're going to live as though it's not it. And you will find life in that approach. See, God doesn't mind us having fun. As long as it doesn't exclude him. He says, to enjoy life, it is a gift of God. Now, don't misinterpret that. He says, life is a gift of God. But sometimes we can read it and we come to our own interpretation of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't say life is God. Life is a gift from God. It's never to become God. So that the moment you make life a God instead of a gift from God, you make your life an idol that competes with God. So many people live their lives as though your life is God. And God will never respect idolatry. Even if the idol is yourself or myself. Life without God is like a needle without thread. It's like a pen without lead. An ink pen. A pen without ink. Life without God is like nothing else to expect. He says, enjoy life. just don't connect it from me. All that's legitimate, he said, enjoy it. 1 Timothy 6 says, God has given you all things to enjoy.
Amen.
If God has given it, and God's not excluded from it, God says, enjoy. Enjoy it. Maximize it. Don't disconnect it. Then he closes with the last chapters of the book, chapter 12. And for those of you under 40, who's under 40 in here? Not too many anymore. Hey. If you're under 40, if you're under 40, pay attention, pay close attention to this. Because 40 was the generational switch in the Bible. Once you hit 40, you're in the next generation, which means a bunch of us are going downhill. If you're over 40, you're heading south. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he says, remember your creator in the days of your youth.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Before the evil days come and the years draw you near, when you will say, I have no delight in him. A lot of people, you know, and I've heard younger people say it, I don't have time right now. See, a younger people say, don't have anything really left to give because they wait. They want to wait until they get grown. They want to wait until they get old. See, if you read the Bible, when they can't see, they want to read the Bible. They want to hear a sermon, which they can't hear because their ears are stopped up. They want to serve God when they can't get out of bed because he spends a chapter talking about body parts wearing out. Don't get me wrong. Whenever they give their life to Christ, they're going to heaven. But see, God wanted more from us than that.
Amen.
He wanted us through the years of our giving our life to him early. He has so much to enjoy. Because he has so much to a work he wants for us to do.
Amen.
But when you get old and feeble, you don't have the strength. You don't have your body just don't work like it used to work. Sometimes you just, I feel, Lord, I know I heard you, but I can't walk. Lord, I have to let somebody holler or let somebody speak to me because I can't hear you well. Woo. See, Solomon was talking about eyes going dim, ears that can't hear, legs that can't walk, and arms that can't grab. Then you are old and you want to give yourself to God. He says, remember your creator when you still have eyes and legs and tongue and mind and strength. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. Remember your creator in the days of youth. Parents, remind your children and your grandchildren to remember their creator when they have the capacity to do something that matters for eternity.
Hallelujah.
And you say, why? Because of the last two verses in this chapter. Verse 13. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments.
Uh-huh.
Because this applies to every person. In the Hebrew means this applies to all of us. Verse 14, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it be good or evil, Because see, you and me, we're going to have to meet God one day.
Hey.
Whether you want to or not. Whether you feel like it or not. It ain't over till it's over. We are going to have to meet God. So since we got to meet him, and we don't have a choice, and he offers us purpose if we meet him now, not just wait until we meet him then and enjoy the good times that he has given us along the way, he says we can have victory and not vanity. We can have a life, even in pleasurous things, that has purpose, that has meaning. We can have all that. You know, there's a time where I heard a preacher said one time that somebody had come to him that I can't serve God because we can't do this. We can't do that. But see, because they haven't given their life to him, we know we serve a God with cans.
Hallelujah.
Can do this, and we can enjoy that, but not disconnected from him.
Amen.
See, we have these parks that we have that has animals in them, living in there. The parks are large enough to have their own habitat for the animals to live in. And they have signs that says, don't feed the animals. Don't feed the bears. Because, see, when tourists come in, they ask them, they tell them, don't feed the bears. Tourists come in, they give them junk food, give them sweets, give them nuts, peanuts. They give them junk food. See, if you do that and the visitors continue to come in, the animals are going to lose their ability to eat from natural habitat that they're living in every day. Because they'll keep looking for the junk, the sweets. They keep looking for the cotton candy. They keep looking for the peanuts. They keep looking for the tourist stuff. So when the tourists are gone, they're in their natural habitat and they don't know how to deal with it. So, don't feed the bears. Don't feed the animals. What is that saying to us? We already know we're living in a world. Don't accept. See, the tourists we're going to have here, we're going to have them all the time as long as we're here. Don't let the tourists trick you. Feed you. Give you the sweet stuff. See, the tourists, we can't get rid of the tourists. They're going to show up. I don't care where we're, as long as we live under the sun, they're going to show up. But you decide what you're going to eat and what you're not going to eat.
Amen.
Start now eating the right thing, eating the right stuff. We eat the word of God.
It is,
it's sweet, sweeter than a honeycomb. Start eating the right stuff with eternity in mind. Don't disconnect this life from the life to come. You understand now why this world is, you got people just, even Christians are letting the world feed them. God, you know I wanted this. You know I asked for this. But you didn't, just because it's your fault, you didn't have the faith enough to get it. So by not having the faith enough to get it, look, The world has it, and I can get it right now. And so you, whatever it is, you go by the world standards to let it allow you to have it. And after you get it, it serves no purpose. You have no use for it. It's wasteful. But worse than that, it's pitiful. Because all that stuff that the world has to offer, now you see where I got? It's running people crazy. Every night, every day, seems like I turn on the news, they're killing one another. People with money are getting caught for trying to get more money by stealing money. Look where it got them. It's got them locked under the sun in a jail that they can't escape. And what does Solomon say about a person who goes out partying? Nothing but a party. Because he says, God's life is so dull. I can't enjoy myself. Jesus. If you listen to what he said, Solomon said, I went out. I partied myself till I couldn't party no more. And it's sad because I pray that the people, the young students in Harrisonburg were saved.
Amen. Amen.
They went to cross the border for a party and came back, and some had a terrible accident and some were killed. Things happen. That's why it's so important. That's why I say, young people, we got to treat or train them in the way that they should go. You know, God is extremely good.
He is.
All he asks is that, and don't force you, he just asks. He tell you all that he had done. He says, I knew you from your mother's womb.
That's right.
And I kept you until you had knowledge enough to receive me. But the world has opened up with so much foul stuff. He said, Solomon said, look, I wanted to satisfy and please myself. And what did he do? He says, he didn't say just the partying. He said, I had pleasures of men and concubines. I went out, and he says, after I experienced all that, it was to naught. I still was lost, empty, and depressed. You will never be a successful person without God.
Come on, Pastor.
You know, that's why I said this. God is teaching us, preaching us, opening up little pearls for us to
Amen.
Understand.
Amen.
Because he won't disbody a baptized believers to be for him, not disconnected from him. You may think all these words are tough, they're hard, they're tough, but sometimes you got to get tough for you to hear it.
That's right.
And still some may not hear it. We're still walking around with pride. We're still walking around with arrogance. We're still walking around with people we can't stand. He says, love your enemy as yourself. Somebody, I keep remembering this, it's tight, but it's right. It's tight, and I'm saying it. Don't be throwing no fruit, especially canned fruit, at me. Y'all start blaming God because I'm going to speak exactly what he gave me to speak. I don't care how hard it seems because it's for me too. I have to receive this. In order for me to give it, I have to receive it. And I'm going to keep on giving it because when he speaks, I'm going to keep on receiving it. I'm here today because I'm receiving what God says. I never want to be disconnected from him. And I don't want anybody else to be disconnected from him. All I can say, he is good.
He is
worthy,
he is worthy
to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Anybody here that's need prayer for anything? You may need prayer for just encouragement. You may need prayer for just, God, I understand what you said, but I need more strength. Lord, I know what you're talking about, but I just need to understand more. Anybody need prayer for anything? Let me tell you something, saints. Remember that Sunday in January that I said I couldn't just see the water? So I got to go get the stepping in that water.
Amen.
And I went running around in the water. Boy, my feet felt so good.
Hallelujah.
Just the water. You know, my feet have been good ever since. And had planning on telling you that earlier, but God never brought it to my attention. That's why I said your testimonies are vitally important. And then what, man, it just excited me so much. He says, those that couldn't run. And I called a couple of names. I ran around for them. And Bishop over here told me, run a third time. God ain't tell me run no three times. In other words, I got to do exactly what God tell me to do. And my sister Bernice, I listened to her on the prayer line. God is good.
Yes, he is. Yes,
that's my sister. How you feel, baby? There you go. God is good and worthy to be praised. I thank all of y'all for your prayers. Because if it wasn't for your prayers, it'd be difficult. If it wasn't for your prayers, I couldn't stand here today because a couple of days ago, I didn't think I was going to be here today. Be alive, I didn't say be dead, be alive, because some things were going on.
Yeah.
See, God, see, will you, I think you all said it, somebody, well, three, a bunch of y'all said it. When you stand up for Jesus, you stand for all that he has done, you try to win souls for Christ, you know you got a target on your back. And you get through one thing,
yeah.
And God says, look, he's going to stop serving you. Just allow me to throw some more stuff on him. God said, go ahead, but just don't kill him. And he's been throwing stuff. All of us have been over stuff, and all of a sudden, something else shows up. Solomon explained it all that in those 12 books. He said, don't be disconnected because everything else about God is vanity. It's wasteful. It doesn't amount to anything. Heavenly Father, I just thank you once again, Lord. Father, thank you for your presence.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I thank you for how you're blessing me and your people. I thank you for your word. But most of all, I thank you that your word are falling on hearts of flesh. Father, not hearts of stone.
Yes, Lord.
Father, just thank you for just taking that word and as they read your word, to study your word, Lord, just thank you for opening up little nuggets. that you can't see until you're in the Spirit while you're reading. That's why I understand that you wrote the Bible using men, writing down your spirit, what you want written. And that's why it takes the Spirit of God to get out of your word what you want us to get out of it correctly. You said, study to show yourselves approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when we're in the Spirit reading, Lord, we're going to show us more and more of your word. And I thank you. In Jesus' precious and most holy name. Can we just shout hallelujah? Hallelujah! Hallelujah.